I want to thank Jerry for allowing all of us to teach. Don't you think that's cool? He doesn't have to. Tonight I'm going to teach on forgiveness, something you shouldn't do. Luke 22. Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 54. In Luke 22, 54, it says, "Then they took him," talking about Jesus Christ, "and led him and brought him into the high priest's house." This is at the night that they took him, that a mob grabbed him, right? They just grabbed him. And they took him to the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. So they have Jesus Christ, and they're not being nice to him already. You know, they hate him. And Peter's following from a distance. "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them." So they kindled the fire. They're interrogating Jesus, doing stuff. And Peter was sitting, you know, near there. "But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him." You know what an earnest look is? Like, just stared at him, right? "Earnestly looked at him and said, 'This man was also with him.'" And what does Peter do? "And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.'" I don't know that guy. So Jesus Christ, the beginnings of the worst time of his life, and Peter denied that he even knew him. "And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not.'" That's the first time someone said "man" in the Bible. "Man, I am not." "And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow also was with him. He is a Galilean.'" Okay, you got to picture this, right? Jesus Christ, he can hear this. You'll see this. He can hear this. And Peter's like, you know, kind of in the shadows, and they tell him, you're with those guys. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what you say. I don't even know what you're talking about." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Can you imagine that? He heard him denying him. And so when he's going through all this horrible time, he hears Peter say, "I don't even know that guy at all." And then Peter, and then the Lord turns and looks at him. Can you imagine that? If you had denied the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's starting this horrible period of his life, and he hears you deny him, and he looks at you the last time you deny him. "And Peter remembered the word of the Lord," which is in verse 33. Go up there. "And he said unto him, 'Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death.'" That's what Peter said. "And he said, 'I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me.'" And it's actually thrice, twice, it's six times. So he told him, "You're going to deny me tonight, Peter." "Peter, no, I am not." But when the push came to shove, Peter failed, right? He denied the Lord actually six times. And that last time, Jesus Christ just looked at him. Can you imagine? He just looked at him. "And Peter remembered," in verse 61, "the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out and what? Wept bitterly." Can you imagine? Just cried his eyes out. In Acts 3, look at Acts 3. Have you ever done anything like that? Acts 3, verse 1, says, "Now Peter," who? "Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'I can't do anything for you. I screwed everything up.'" Is that what he said? Like, just a few months ago, I denied the Lord Jesus Christ. I could never do a miracle or anything like that. Maybe ask me to give you a dime. That's probably what I can do. Is that what Peter said? You know, it wasn't that long before he'd had this big screw up. But apparently, even if you screw things up really badly, between that time, Peter had received Holy Spirit, right? And what enables you to do cool things like heal people? Holy Spirit. Even if you've screwed up? Even if you've made mistakes? And look at this. Peter didn't say, "I just can't over the big mistake. I can't get over it. Jesus Christ looked at me the last time, and I just can't get over it. I screwed up so bad." What if he had said that? Would the blind guy have gotten healed?
No.
No, because he's a lame guy. Man, pay attention. Peter goes, I'm sorry, I'm not worthy to heal you. And the lame guy goes, you made a mistake a few months ago, and so I'm not going to get healed? John, what about you? If you make a big mistake and you have Holy Spirit, can you still help people? And you know, sometimes we have to get over our mistakes. I don't think there's anybody in here who is not going to make some major mistakes sometime in their life. If you haven't yet, you will, right? Things that might hurt people, things that might really, you know, hurt someone's life, or things that might damage something, and you've got to get over it because people still need you. And whether or not you've been perfect, you still have Spirit, don't you? And that's what gives you the edge here. That's what where the goodness of God is and the love of God is and everything like that, right? And so you just have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself. Look at Ephesians 1. There's nobody in here who's born again who isn't worthy of performing miracles, who isn't worthy of getting revelation. And even if you've made some big mistakes in your life, think about right now screaming at a cute little kitty. That's probably one of the worst sins you could do, right? Right after you scream at the kitty, can you speak in tongues?
Yeah.
Even after that kind of a sin? Think about screaming at Alyssa's kitty. That would be worse, right? But could you speak in tongues right afterwards? Why? Because you have Holy Spirit, right? That's always fresh. That never goes away, and you can always use it. And never think you're not worthy to help someone else, because they need your help. If you are condemning yourself, there's a little hint in that phrase to my question. If you are condemning yourself, who are you thinking about?
Yourself.
Yeah, because you're condemning who?
Yourself.
And like I taught earlier, don't condemn yourself. Go out and condemn others. Isn't that better? Get your eyes off yourself. Get over yourself. You're not perfect. At what age do you think you're going to be perfect? 42? Is that when you're going to get all together? 51? Never? I thought I was going to have it together at 55, but it's down. It's not going to happen. You're never going to get it all together. You should try to have it together. But do you have Spirit? And can you help people? So don't be so hard on yourself. God's not so hard on you. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the what? It's part of the package. We have forgiveness of sins, and forgiveness is setting free, remission of debt or punishment, pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had never been committed. Letting them go as if they had never been committed. And you are worthy to do things, and people need your help. So you can't just be so critical of yourself and condemn yourself, and you got to accept your forgiveness, right? What if Peter had just been still condemning himself and thinking he wasn't a worthy believer for what he did? The blind guy wouldn't have got healed, right? No, the lame guy wouldn't have got healed, right? And you have the same power as Peter. So we forgive ourselves. Look at Isaiah 1. This is a good picture. Every day, every second is new with a believer. People need you. Isaiah 1. I always think of Moses. How old was Moses when he went to get Israel out of Egypt? 80 years old, right? That's kind of old, right? And he spent 40 years before that just kind of hanging out, watching sheep, said he was content. What was his wife's name? Zipporah? He was content to be with her. It's, you know, when God needs you, go. And if you're 80 years old, can you do cool things tomorrow? If you're 3 years old, can you do? No, you can't. But if you're 13, can you? Yeah, the past doesn't matter. We need to do stuff now. People need your help now. And we got to get over ourselves. Isaiah 1, verse 18. This is just a great picture. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as what?" Now, that's a good picture, isn't it? Scarlet sins, those must be the worst sins, right? Like maybe talking about someone behind their back. That's the worst sin, right? No, really deep, bad sins. With God, if they're scarlet, they shall be what? White as snow. God forgives you. You get in fellowship, you're like a newborn baby. How many sins has the baby committed? Any yet? Did he yell at a cat? You have as many sins as that baby, because Jesus Christ took them. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be what?" Well, just God gets rid of them. Even in the Old Testament, he did. And so think of yourself as someone with Christ in them who's righteous, like Tony taught. What's over there? Go back to Acts 3. You're fresh as a baby. Acts 3. Verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And the man looked on Peter and said, 'Aren't you the guy that denied Jesus Christ six times?'" I pass. Guess what part of the teaching this is? People are going to sin against you, aren't they? Or they're going to make big mistakes that you know about. Does that mean that they can't still help you? Does that mean that they can't still heal you? Does that mean that they can't still get revelation and help you? No, it doesn't, because they have Holy Spirit, and that's what's important. What if this guy had said, "I heard about you, Peter. You can't heal anybody because I know you're a sinner." What, would this guy have gotten healed? No. And some people that you might have a real case against might be the ones that could heal you or really help you if you would just forgive them. You understand? Look at Ephesians 4. So we have to forgive ourselves and get over ourselves, but we're supposed to also forgive, guess who? Other people. Now, who says this? Did we make this up for our club so that we could do a lot of bad stuff and get away with it? Who says this? God says this. It's something that God says. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted," and what's that? "Forgiving one another." Forgiving one another. And this word forgiving means to do a person a favor, to be kind to. And it's talking about even if someone has burned you, you do your best to be kind to them, to be gracious, to graciously forgive their sins, to graciously remit a person's debt or sin. And to forgive someone is to give up resentment. So that when you think about that person or those people that yelled at your cat, you don't have any resentment. You give it up. And that's possible because you know you've been forgiven for stuff. And God asks you to forgive other people. So when you think about someone who may have really hurt you, or maybe really hurt someone that you love, you don't have resentment towards them. And you don't have the desire to get back at them. You don't have the desire to punish them. Even with your words, "I'm going to say something to that guy, you know? I want to hurt them like they hurt me." And you stop being angry with them. Okay, you want to know who you need to forgive? Think about who you're angry at. Are you angry at anybody? Some people have been angry at people for like the last 40 years. Parents? Siblings? Other believers? Well, if you forgive them, guess what? You're not angry with them anymore. And God says you should forgive people. Matthew 18. And that's a great way to live, because if you don't forgive people, you become bitter. And no part of your life is fun once you're bitter. And so it's a great art in this life to forgive people, even if they don't deserve it and even if they've really hurt you, so that you can move on with your life. In Matthew 18, verse 21, says, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?'" We're talking about somebody who really does something to you. Have any of you here have had one person talk about them behind your back seven times that you know about? You have? I can't think of anybody that I know of. You have? Well, now you don't have to forgive them, because seven times. What about this? What if someone steals your girlfriend seven times? Or what about that guy who rejected you seven times? Give him up. What about that guy that rejected you once? Or that girl that yelled at your cat? What a life. A life of no resentment. Huh? A life with no desire to punish. Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until what? 70 times seven." And it's a figure just a lot. And there's a little hint to life in here. And that is, if you're going to be around people, it looks like you're going to have to forgive them a lot. Right? Now, I think one way to avoid this is to not be around people. Because that's the only way you're not going to have to forgive them, is to not be around them. And that person is called a what? A hermit. And one day all the hermits will unite and take over the world. That's a scary thought, all the hermits uniting. But when they do, guess what? They won't be able to stand each other, and you don't have to be afraid, because they don't forgive anybody. If you're going to be around people, you're going to have to expect to have to, guess what? Don't expect them to be perfect. I've searched every group in the world on Google, and I haven't found one that will treat me the way I want to be treated all the time. But I like being around people. I like working with these guys. They're the greatest guys. But we have to forgive each other. We have to forgive each other because we do things wrong. We make mistakes. And so we have to forgive each other. God asks us to. And if you're going to work with people, if you're going to be around people, if you're going to try to have some sense of community and something to move forward with, expect that you're going to have to forgive them, right? Don't expect them to be perfect all the time, or to treat you the way you feel like you should be treated all the time. Expect you're going to have to forgive them, because you love them and you care about them and you want them around and you want to be around. You understand? Look at Leviticus 19. And even if you don't want to be around people, forgive the people in your past. It's just better for you. Just let it go. Let it go. You think that anybody's lived through this life without being burned? No. Leviticus 19. Where's Leviticus? I want the computer Bible. Leviticus 19. Biblical scholars out there, what am I going to be reading out of? Leviticus. And what is that? The law. I'm reading out of the law. Leviticus 19, 17. "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart." That was in the law. Isn't that amazing? In the law. "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him." 18, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear a grudge against the children of thy people." That's the law. They had to do it. You get that? From their heart. "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor," what? "As thyself." And then that emphasis there, "I am the Lord." I am the Lord. Do what I say. Do what I say. I am the Lord. We're not allowed to hate people. I think it was, who was asking what they did in the law? Is that you? Yeah. Here's one thing they had to do in the law. They couldn't hate each other. Isn't that amazing? They couldn't hate each other from their heart. And they weren't supposed to seek revenge. And they weren't supposed to bear a grudge. That was in the law. They were to love. That's what God says. Let's go to Mark. Biblical scholars, what's in administration is Mark. So I guess God was always telling people they should what? Forgive. Forgive. Don't bear a grudge. Don't try to get back. Mark 11. I think you know this record. 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have the faith of God. Believe God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, what?
Forgive.
Forgive. When you're praying, believe and you'll receive. And when you're praying, what? Forgive. Forgive. If you have aught against any, if you have anything against anyone, what? Forgive. When you pray with believing, you'll receive. And when you pray, if you have anything against anyone, what? Forgive. And look at this. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, what? Isn't that wild? That's the Christ administration. In that administration, if they didn't forgive, guess what? What's it say? So isn't it cool that we don't have to forgive? Isn't grace great? We don't have to forgive and we still get forgiven. So that's a benefit of being born again, isn't it? We don't have to forgive anybody and we still get forgiven. Go to Genesis 50. Remember Joseph? Great man. His brothers never had anything nice to say to him his whole life. They only spoke ill to him. And he went to check on him. His father sent him to check on him one time. And his wonderful brothers threw him in a pit and sold him as a slave. Remember? Has that happened to any of you lately? I've been thrown in a pit, but never sold as a slave. No, I've never been thrown in a pit. Have anybody here, and it does happen in this, I'm not making light of it, people do get sold as slaves and stuff, but has anyone here been like betrayed by your own family and sold as a slave to Egypt? Would that make you mad? That would make me mad. And it says in Psalm, I think 103 or 105, that he was bound in fetters and chains. It was painful, it was horrible. Horrible as you can imagine. And his own brothers did it. His own brothers did it. And you know the story, right? When there was a famine and everything like that, he had been made Pharaoh. He saved his whole family. And in saving his whole family and preserving his own family, he preserved the Christ line. If he forgave them. And if he hadn't have forgiven them, you wouldn't be here right now. You got that? So maybe you should forgive people. Maybe they do have stuff to contribute to your life or to someone else's life down the road. You don't know. But after his father died in Genesis 50, verse 15, it says, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. So after Israel dies, then the brothers go, he was just waiting for dad to die. Now he's going to pay us back. Now comes the payoff. Verse 16, and they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, dad said right before he died, Joseph, I want you to know this. So shall you say unto Joseph, what?
Forgive.
Forgive. Forgive. So they were concerned that he would pay them back. Now he's going to pay him back for selling him as a slave and all the horrible time he had in Egypt before he was made Pharaoh. You know, being sold to Potiphar and being accused of laying with that lady and going back to prison and everything like that. Now they thought he would pay him back for it. Verse 17, so they say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. They go, Dad told you to forgive us, okay? For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph says the most amazing thing here. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? And what he's saying is that he had no right to get vengeance. You could translate this, am I God that I can punish you? Joseph knew that he didn't have the right to pay back. He didn't have the right to get vengeance. That's not his right. And it's not anybody's right. Look at Deuteronomy 32. Am I God? You think about that the next when you're holding stuff against people and want to get back. Deuteronomy 32, 35. To you belongeth vengeance. Is that what that says? What's it say? Who does vengeance belong to? And that's retribution. To return an injury for an injury. Only one has the right. And you know who that is? God. You don't. Do you remember a part of the first promise that the adversary made to Eve? Your eyes will be open. You shall know good and evil. And what? Be as gods. You don't have the right to pay people back. Only who does? You understand? You don't have the right to seek retribution. Who does? God does. To me belongeth vengeance, and recompense is really just the payback, the payback. And this is quoted in Romans 12. Look at Romans 12. You don't really know what the cause of the person who burned you, what caused it. But I'll give you a little clue. What is the cause of the darkness in this world?
Adversary.
The adversary. In Romans 12, verse 17, it says, recompense to no man, what? You don't have that right. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't look for payback. And there it is. But rather give place unto vengeance, for it is written, what? Vengeance is whose? Whose? Let him worry about it. Let him take care of it. Let him take care of it. Ephesians 6. And that's one of the ways you can just let it go. I'll let God figure it out. He has the right to figure that out. I'm going to forgive and move on. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle against people.
No.
Mean people.
No.
Who did mean things. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Look around. Almost everyone in here is flesh and blood. Except for the person sitting next to Ed, who's invisible. Our fight is with people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, who knows why that person did that? But I know the cause of the evil in this world is who? Adversary. I'm going to read a part of the poem, Pray Don't Find Fault. Remember this poem? It's about a guy who walks funny and because he has a tack in his shoe, and you make fun of him, and then your brothers make fun of him, and then your mom yells at you. But at the end, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, don't be too harsh with the man who sins, or pelt him with words or stones, unless you are sure, yea, doubly sure, that you have no sins of your owns. No, own. For you know, perhaps, if the tempter's voice should whisper as softly to you as it did to him when he went astray, it might have caused you to stumble too. So, nah, nah, nah. But you get the point? You don't know they use the word Satan for like the pool ball effect. This ball gets hit, this ball gets hit, this ball gets hit. The adversary watches stuff, tries to do stuff. You don't know why that happened, really. Why that person did that. Why these people did that. You don't know how long the adversary set it up. You don't know who he worked on. You don't know what that person's family life was like or youth was like, right? You don't know. You don't know. Who knows? God knows. So let him judge. Look at 1 Peter 2. It's not your right. At least you got to forgive him, right? You know, this is one of the temptations of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled right back.
No.
Can you imagine? What if he would do evil to the people who are evil to him? You know? That's how the pool ball effect works. I'm hurt, I hurt you. But Jesus Christ, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he what? He threatened not. But look at this. But committed himself to him that what?
Judges righteously.
So you let God figure that out, and you forgive, okay? And at least your life will be free of bitterness, and you can move ahead. Go back to Genesis 50. Can you imagine how forgiving a man Joseph was? Those guys tried to ruin him, ruin his entire life, his own family. So he says in 50:19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Or only God can do that. But as for you, you thought evil against me. You tried to ruin my life. You thought to ruin my life. You hated me. You sold me for a slave. As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto me what? So what if people did evil things to you? Are they bigger than God? Can't God make it right? Can't God take care of your heart? Can't God take care of what you lost? So Joseph's attitude was, yeah, you are dicks. You did try to ruin me. You did evil things to me, but God made it right. God made it right. And one thing that you can do if you do get hurt or burned, don't give that person more power than God in your life. Expect God to make it right and let him figure out who should be punished. You understand? Let him figure all that stuff out. You might be surprised when all of this stuff winds down, who did what and what caused what, you know? But you just forgive people, and expect that God is bigger than that person when it comes to your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's what Joseph did. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day. And by the way, I saved all your lives to save much people alive. So yeah, they were evil. They did an evil thing. They tried to wreck his life. There was a long period of time when his life was horrible because of them. But guess what? God made it wonderful. And he turned around and saved them all. Now look at this. Now therefore, fear ye not. Don't be afraid. I will still take care of you. You and your little ones. And look at this. And he comforted them and spake what? Isn't that amazing? He comforted them and he was kind to them. He spake kindly unto them. And when it comes to people who have done stuff, just forgive them. Let God be concerned about, you know, payback or whatever that stuff is. Forgive them. And that means you graciously remit their sins, right? When you think about them, you're not mad anymore. When you think about them, you don't resent them anymore. And you're not thinking about ways to get back or to let them know how hurt you got and everything like that. It's just over. And God says to do that. Look at Colossians 3. I'm not going to go into it in detail, but what does the word say if somebody has hurt you? What should you do? Huh? Well, what else can you do? Talk to them. Well, you can pray for them, but I'm thinking Jesus Christ said, if a man sin against thee, you what? You go and talk to him. No. If a man sin against thee, first you go and talk to your best friends about it. See what they think. That's the doctrine, isn't it? That's the practical doctrine, isn't it? That's what we practice. Say Leah. Leah's looking at me like she hates me right now. So I know that Hannah's rooming with her. And Hannah's my daughter, so I can say, Hannah, why was Leah looking at me like that? Don't you think that was a rotten thing to do for her to stare at me in that way and make me feel like I'm no good? And Hannah will go, I don't think Leah would do that. And so then I'm going to go to Jerry because we're friends. Jerry, I feel Leah was looking at me in just a horrible way. What's wrong with her? Is that what I'm supposed to do?
No.
You're right. It's supposed to be your spouse. Right? It's supposed to be your spouse. Women's fellowship sucked today. I want to be in charge of children's fellowship, and they're not letting me. That's ridiculous. Who are you supposed to talk to? The person. The person. And then it says, rebuke him and forgive him. And if he does it 7 times, guess what? Rebuke him and what? Yeah. But talk to that person. If there's someone in here tonight that you need to talk to, you should have some balls and talk to them instead of holding something against them, unless it's me. But anybody else? You got me? Talk to them. That's what God would say. There's more to it than just your feelings. It's the future of the body of Christ. It's not just you involved. But Colossians 3, verse 12 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and what?
Forgiving one another.
If any man have a quarrel against any, so you stop and think, do I have a quarrel against somebody? Do I have something that I'm mad about? Something that I have against somebody? Even as Christ forgave you, are you forgiven? Have you been forgiven by God because of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have your sins all been paid for? Are you righteous before God? Even as Christ forgave you what? So also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And in 1 Peter 4, if you're going to have a nice fellowship, and if you're going to have some strength in your life because you're with the body of believers, I'm so sad to tell you, you're going to have to forgive people a lot. Okay? Or continue looking for those perfect people. I think they were seen in Canada 2 weeks ago. I tried to join them and they didn't want me to because they thought I might hurt them. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Fervent is extended or stretched out. This is a good one. Serious love. Intense love, not petty, not trivial. Really love each other. Don't mess around when it comes to loving each other, when it comes to caring about each other, being concerned about each other, wanting to take care of each other, sacrifice for each other. Don't mess around with that. Get serious about that. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover what? Bottom line, if you love someone, you'll cover their sins. Now, I know our sins are cleansed by God and the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's just saying that charity just overlooks it. And I guarantee you're going to have to overlook a lot of things if you want to be around people, and it's because you love them that you will overlook some things. And what's the saying that Dr. Rowe made about that?
Love sees more
and sees less. And when you work with people, you have the great privilege to see them at their best, and you have the great privilege to see them at their very worst. Because you want to help them, you're in there with them, and you cover that sin because you love them. All right? That's it. Father, thank you so much for your love for us, and that we don't forget your great love for us. And thank you that we can love each other and take care of each other and walk with you and use the manifestations to take care of each other. And thank you that we can love the people in the world and help them and be a blessing to them too. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen.